All right. Well, this evening, as we read the passages that we have read here tonight, we typically always read out of Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. And as I mentioned earlier, we usually don't read those later verses that talk about Simeon recognizing that God had promised way back at the beginning in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve first fell into sin, that God was going to do something about this problem of sin and that he was going to send a Savior. The Messiah is what all through the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, all were looking forward to. And there was 400 years of prophetic silence from the last Old Testament prophet Malachi until the coming of Jesus. And at 700 years prior to Christ's coming, there were many prophecies made by the prophet Isaiah that spoke directly to what Jesus did. And it's those things tonight that we're going to look at, because Simeon was recognizing what was taking place. And I think many times for us, now I've grown up in church. I've grown up ever since I was the age of these little guys, and I got taken out of church many a time myself, and I got in trouble and all those things. But you know, growing up in church and listening to these stories, I think many times it's very easy to just kind of take it for granted that, yeah, this is what Christmas is, and yeah, Jesus was born in a manger, and we don't realize the awesomeness of what has taken place. And prophecy written so many hundreds of years, and even some of them thousands of years prior to Christ's coming, have now been fulfilled. Simeon recognized it. He had been promised that he was not going to die until he'd seen this promised coming one that all of Scripture was looking forward to. And as we read his prayer of blessing upon this child, and the sense in his heart of his hopes had been realized. And for us tonight to take these passages and consider them ourselves. Scripture says that Jesus was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Now, I think about that. When God flung and spoke the universe into existence. Now, how many have ever watched a DVD presentation of called The Star of Bethlehem? Anyone out here seen that? Okay, numerous people have. Well, many times people have kind of thought, well, that was just kind of a made-up story with this. And what is amazing here with now with computer technology, we have the ability to go back, and our universe is like a fine-tuned instrument. You can go back in time and see where the stars are at in relation to everything and the planets. And planets were also considered stars. They didn't know that they were planets until quite a bit later, but they considered these wandering stars, which were planets, to be a part of the fixed system that God had created. And what is amazing is a lawyer who had kind of astronomy as a hobby thought, man, he was going to take and find out, because he read these things in the Bible. It's like this star is described of doing things that stars cannot do. And I thought, man, a lot of people say, oh, it's just that Bible talk. It's just a fairy tale that's been told. And it's like, no, he believed that the Bible was the Word of God, the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And he was going to go through and find out all the things that Scripture said about this star. And that is exactly what he did. And he traced back in history to the point where the king planet, Jupiter, and Venus, the virgin planet, came together in close conjunction. And this would have been the brightest cosmic event seen by eyes at that time. And that is what the wise men came to see. that they had been told, and many have thought that it was the prophet Daniel when he was taken into captivity into Babylon, that he had shared this expectation of this Messiah that was going to come, and that this Messiah was not just for the Jewish nation, it was for every tribe, language, and nation, that this individual was going to come. And as the angels announced to Joseph and to Mary that he came to save his people from their sins. And when that event took place, the events described in Scripture, and I'm not going to go there tonight because this will get a lot longer than you want me to go tonight. But I encourage you to read about this star, that it talked about staying in place. It's like, well, stars, they're continually moving. But there's something called retrograde motion, where to our eyes, we can't see it, but the star, the planets do things that the regular stars don't. And now we have the technology to understand it. And he traced that back and found the time that this event took place, and to be the birth of Christ, and what caused the wise men to come and to worship the king that had been born. And I just want to encourage you to look that up. If you say, man, Pastor, you're saying a lot of weird things tonight, I encourage you to look up the Star of Bethlehem on your on the internet, just to research that and find out. But the beautiful thing is all these prophecies that we're looking forward to by the men and women of Jesus' day, that it told of the place of his birth, and that's why we sung, O Little Town of Bethlehem. The prophet Micah had said, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And Scripture also said to whom that he would be born, the prophet Isaiah, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child, and he will give, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. In his ancestry, it says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of power, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide what he hears with his ears. And this is what the angel had announced to Mary, that she should not be afraid, that she was going to give birth to this son, and that they were to give him the name Jesus, and that he would have the throne of his father of David and will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And you look at these prophecies, and even the apostles, as Jesus went forward in life and he grew up and he entered his ministry, they didn't understand these things. Even though Jesus was with them for a period of 3 years, he explained things and tried to get them to see and understand. And it was like, it's hard to wrap our minds around some of these things. But it was afterwards. And I love how when Jesus in the resurrection, after he rose from the dead, and this is what he came. We know that Jesus was born for a purpose. And usually at Christmas, we don't talk about the cross. We don't talk about the resurrection, because that's something we talk about at Easter. But these two go hand in hand. The whole reason he was born, he came and he knew his mission was laid out. He was headed to the cross. And in God's timing, when it was right, if you remember his mother Mary, I love the interaction with Mary and Jesus, that he had not performed any miracles. He really hadn't come out. He was about 30 years of age. And I'm sure Mary is thinking, oh man, when is this guy going to start doing all the things that the angels promised me, and all these things that have been told? It's like 30 years. It's like, come on, son. The time has got to be getting close here where you're going to start doing these things. And you remember the first miracle that Jesus did was what? He turned the water into wine. And I love his response to his mom. He says, Mother, my time has not yet come. And she just said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And I just love that, how you see the interaction of Jesus, who we believe in what Scripture presents, fully God and fully man. Hard for us to comprehend and understand, to wrap our mind around. But that's what Scripture presents him as. And at this point, he's like, all right, the time has come. And he did his first miracle. And I was like, whoa. And people started to like, boy, this is a little bit different. Usually we serve the best wine first before everyone had too much to drink. And he says, here, the best wine was saved for last. And it was like, and the people, the servants who went and got the water realized, wow, this was not no ordinary wine. Something miraculous had taken place. And then Jesus began to call his disciples. And we know the rest of the gospel stories say that Jesus went and did as the prophets said he would. He preached. He healed. He showed us the way that mankind should be. And he pointed out to us what mankind's problem is. It is sin. And that he came to deal with the problem of sin and to die on the cross for our sins. And again, the apostles never got it until the end. And this is what Jesus said in Luke 24. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And that power from on high was the coming of the Holy Spirit into their hearts, and then to all of us who all the centuries later have come to believe in Jesus. The same Holy Spirit comes and lives in our hearts. But it is then that Jesus explained all these passages, all these obscure passages. You don't just find it laid out in just one paragraph of Scripture. This is exactly what's going to happen. You see it in pieces throughout the Old Testament, scattered throughout. And Jesus put the pieces of the puzzle together and said, this is what is written, and I have fulfilled these things. You have been my witnesses. You have seen me. You have walked with me. You've seen the way I've taught you, the way I love people. And he says, now I'm sending you out into this world to represent me to the lost world around us and around them at that time. And that is what our calling is. And so tonight, 2,000 years later, I want us to take to heart these truths and realize how special it is. All the Old Testament saints, the men, the women, the children, were looking forward to this coming. Now we have the privilege in this day and age to look back in history and see and trace the evidences that God has given us for the great faith we've been called to as followers of Christ. And tonight, I want to encourage each and every one of us to think about these passages, how special they are, that they are fulfilled. And in that fulfillment, as we place our faith, our hope, our trust in Jesus, that something comes in and transforms our hearts. And that something is the Holy Spirit. He comes in and opens our eyes, begins to put the pieces of the puzzle together for us. And as we celebrate in Advent, he brings hope, he brings peace, he brings joy, and he fills our hearts with love. And as we respond to him, it is the same for us tonight. And I pray that each and every one of us will consider in our hearts what Jesus has done, the truths that we have, and that we can apply this to ourselves tonight, that Jesus loves us. He came into the world, John 3:16. For God, in fact, I got it on my tie. You know, that's the thing. I'll pull this out tonight. Every Christmas, I wear this tie. And I don't think on any Christmas I've ever actually used the verse that is written on this, but it's the most well-known Bible verse there is, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is the message that we have. That is the message we can rejoice in tonight. And then the next verse goes on, and many times we don't say this, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Our message as followers of Christ tonight is to take it out that we're not condemning people, we're not beating people over the head, but we're living out the truths that have transformed our hearts. Our sins are forgiven. We ask God to forgive us. We recognize that I sin against him in thought, word, and deed. And as I ask for forgiveness, he does forgive me. And he turns me from the path where sin destroys life and gives me life that is truly life. And it's in that hope and that love tonight that I share, and that all of us can rejoice in the love of God demonstrated in the coming of Jesus tonight on this blessed Christmas Eve in little old Spider Lake Church out here in the middle of nowhere in Hayward, Wisconsin. And so, amen. Amen.